Welcome to the rivers of everlasting and eternal pleasures, bringing forth tidings from the throne of grace and the voice of the majesty on high. Experience the power of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, shining forth from the face and presence of God. We are Love Seal Church. Stay blessed and be enriched through this message by God's servant.
Thank you, Father, because you will help us again. This morning, you will come to us, you will appear to us, you will show us, you will move us forward. Oh God, we ask for a turnaround. Oh Lord, are there lives that are stale? We ask for a turnaround. We ask for your presence. We ask for blessing, the blessing of multiplication, the blessing of increase. Oh, let it come. Let there be that grace rest upon us as a local assembly. In the name of Jesus, I pray for help that you cause me to align under you, Jesus, under your servant. I ask that, Jesus, you will be seen. You cause me not to be forward in my thoughts. You cause me to follow you, to behave myself orderly. Let my thoughts, let my meditation, let it be acceptable to you, Jesus. Show me mercy. Grant me grace. Grant me boldness to speak your word. Help me to align beyond the words, oh God. Reach us all in the name of Jesus. Thank you for an atmosphere that you bring with this teaching, an atmosphere that you bring with this series. Thank you for your ministry spirit. Thank you for angels that are giving charge over us to keep us, to help us, to move us forward in the name of Jesus. Our theme once more is a fruitful life in the spirit. And the first lesson we are looking at is the introduction, the overview of what the fruitful life is. From here, we are going to look at walking in the spirit. We are going to look at the communion life. We are going to look at assembling together. We are going to look at submission. We are going to look at giving, you know, all in this series. And in this series, one of the things we are trusting God is that we will understand the concept of fruitfulness and what it entails. We will also desire for us to experience fruitfulness, and that we will also avoid pitfalls that makes us not fruitful. Pitfalls that makes us barren. You know, the Lord will come to us and cause us to know it in the name of Jesus. Genesis 1 from verse 27 to 28. Genesis 1, 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we can see that God's intention right from the beginning is that man should be fruitful. Right from the beginning. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. Now, it's not fruits. It's the fruit. It talks about expression of the Spirit. It's not fruit. You know, there's a way you can read and think it's plural. It's fruits. It's an expression of a life. And it says the fruit of the Spirit. That means those of us that claim that we are spirits, it shows that even being spirit, there's a fruitfulness. It shows that anything spirit, there's fruitfulness. There's multiplication. Being a spiritual person is not an endorsement for staleness. It says there's a level of fruiting. There's a level of multiplication that our life in the spirit must have. James 5, 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. God's people, we said it, there is no coming of the Lord without the precious fruit. So, actually, we are the one delaying the appearance. He said, the Lord is waiting patiently. There's a patient waiting. So, you know, we can shout, end of word. You will keep shouting it. It will not end. Because guess what? In God, they call him long-suffering. That's something about God. A generation can go and another generation come. And this intention must still be fulfilled. John 15:2-8.
I am the true vine, and the Father is my husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I spoke unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that you shall be my disciples. That reading as a bundle, there's a whole lot in there. You can see that there's a difference between more and much. You know, much means greater, means something greater. You know, but when you say more, it's in context. But what God wants us to is not just to bear more fruit, it's to bear much. So I will say that fruitfulness, just like, you know, men pray against stagnation. I mean, all of us, we pray against stagnation. Does anybody here want to be barren? Even natural stagnation, you don't want to be barren. Men pray against it. The same way, when it comes to fruitfulness, you know, the way fruitfulness share a lot of similarities between growth and development, then you can know that an important aspect of our spiritual life is growth and maturity. And in living organisms, there are characteristics of somebody growing. There's how you know that something is living. Therefore, fruitfulness is mandatory in our walk with God. You know, Mr. Nainjadi, the things that show that you are a living thing, movement, respiration, nutrition, irritability, growth, excretion, reproduction, and I think they added that D when we left school. But I think they say it's Mr. Ninja D. It's no longer Mr. Ninja. Or has he increased again?
Yes.
Is that what again?
DAC.
What is the A? What is C? So man is evolving. Can you imagine? Now, we are seeing that what God expects is fruitfulness. It is the key to exercising our authority over dominion and the power of Satan. Now, when you talk about authority, you can't overcome the enemy without fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is not just bearing seed. Our Lord Jesus, the seed of David, he became the fullness of God. You know, many of us, we are content with seed. That's another thing we will see. Fruitfulness is not just that you have seed. Our Lord, the seed of David, you know, that was what they called him. But you see, they called him the seed of David when they were trying to identify his path on earth. But by the time he was done, the Bible says in him, Colossians was going to, you know, capture him. He said in him dwells the fullness of God bodily. So you must know that there's no overcoming without fruitfulness. Now, the reason why many of us struggle with some of the works of the enemy is because we have no fruiting. Now, attaining fruitful life is not a given. Being fruitful as a believer is not an anointing that comes with your being born again. That because you are born again does not mean automatically every area of your life you are going to be fruitful. No, no, no. No, you miss it. You miss it. It doesn't. Because there's always a challenge that the adversary poses on us. Satan does not want us to be fruitful. He hinders our fruitfulness. He prevents us from coming into the full intention of God for us as a believer. You can be in an assembly with fellowship and say, I have light, I have revelation. And guess what? You are not experiencing the fullness of your spiritual fruitfulness. I think that makes it scary, right? You know, just like the part of a seed coming into fruiting, there's a lot of factors responsible. There are a lot of things that are even against it. Do you know that? There are a lot of things that are against it. There are a lot of things that are responsible for it. One of the things responsible is the environmental factor. At least that one, we know that in agriculture. There are things that fight it. Diseases and pestilence. And even rats, rodents. It's pests. They're all part of pests. Yes, pests. They affect that seed for coming into fruit. The same way, there are three things that we can see that affect a believer from coming into fruitfulness. We see it in the journey of the sower. Mr. Satan. Persecution. And worldly cares. You know, one of the things that we must know. You see, in the parable of the sower, you know, we have the seed that fell by the wayside, right? The sower was going to sow a seed. The seed fell by the wayside. There was another one fell on a stony ground. Another one fell on thorns. Now, there are very interesting things to note. The one by the wayside, they said the breath of the air. When Jesus was going to interpret it, you know, to his disciple, it was Mark that made us know that. You know, the way if you read, you can think that, you know, there was nothing, you know, as if they just sowed the seed. But you see all these factors that affect a seed coming into fruitfulness. There are factors that it is the response of the heart that govern it. You know, you can feel that, oh, cares of the world are the ones that will not allow me be fruitful. Actually, what actually does it dance is actually my response. Your response to understanding. Understanding is precious. And many of us, we don't labor for understanding. You know, Daddy was saying in the course of since we started, he said there's first hearing. This one that they have actually come to see is not the first hearing, no. His hearing that you hear is not this one that is through this your hear. No. It's a hearing that will bring understanding. Many of us don't labor for understanding. You see, Daniel, when we know the understanding is precious, we will be a company of Daniel that will stand on their horse until understanding comes. So that you understand something, you should know that there's a warfare that has happened to you. You should actually know that the seed has progressed in you. Anytime you have breakthrough in understanding, because we saw what happened when it comes to understanding with Daniel. So it's a response of the heart. It was not just that the birth of the air. It was that, Satan just saw that something was sown and said, yeah, carry this thing away. Then those with the stony hearts too. Bible says they had no depth. They had no depth. You know, there's a way they sprout out, but because they have no depth. So when you are talking about depth, Ephesians says that we may know the depth, the height. So you can't just stay shallow. Because when it comes to carrying, building, because you know the first thing a tree does is to have depth. The first thing that grows in a tree is the roots. If the root is not deep, it can't carry the weight of what is coming. Somebody who is depth and not shallow will not be offended. Because Matthew painted that not having depth is when temptation comes. He said he becomes offended. So when you are easily offended, you don't have depth. And it's true. When you say you have strife amongst you, are you not carnal? So a carnal person cannot have depth. And there's no way, if you stay in that region, there's no way the word of God that you carry will not be choked. It's not possible. And then the other one was the one that fell on thorns. That one said, did not even have opportunity. From the beginning, they didn't even allow you fruit, nothing. He could not shoot. Mark captured it. He said, that one, I think he said, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, I say lust. He said, lust of other things. Entering in choke. They won't allow even the word or even born. They choke it quickly. And it become unfruitful. It is even bad. They choke it and they make it barren. He made that seed unusable. So you see, cares of this world is not something you and I must joke with. Deceitfulness of riches. So we must know that all of these things, what governs them? There are factors that hinder fruitfulness, but actually, the underlying tone is actually the response of the heart. Because where the sower was sowing was on the heart. Sure, you know, it was all manners of heart. And guess what? It's not a particular, all of us have been in this phase at one point or the other. Therefore, it is important that we, as a believer, we must be deliberate and conscious with a strong desire to ensure that we are fruitful. We must have a strong desire to be fruitful. You know, the way you have a strong desire, maybe some of us, you have been earning a salary that is not taking you on top of mail and bridge. You know, when you have a strong desire to get something more, you know, the way some of us say, this matter, it will shift. The way some of us are praying, maybe you are praying for a husband or a wife, you know, the way you have stayed on the matter, there must be strong desire to be fruitful. We must have it. God's people, you know, fruitfulness in the natural is okay, but much more fruitfulness when it comes to the things of God. Now, what is fruitfulness?
What is fruitfulness? What comes to mind? He said fruitfulness generally refers to the quality or state of being fruitful, which is the ability to produce or bear fruit, whether a literal or metaphorical or symbolic sense. So I just want to point out that fruitfulness is a state. I was just moved to check what agriculture definition of fruitfulness is. This one carries it home. He said fruitfulness is the state of a plant when it's not only capable of flowering or fruit setting, but also takes the fruit to maturity. So it became very clear, God's people, that you have flower on your branch does not mean you are fruitful. That you have fruit that is unripe does not mean you are fruitful. An unripe fruit that nobody can eat, is that fruitfulness? A flower that we can do, is that fruitfulness? He said, until the state of maturity. Now, this is a changer. You know why it's a changer? Because many of us are content. We are content with just being born again. We are content with speaking in tongues. We are content with manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. We are content with a little understanding that we have. Many of us are content with the faith. I mean, you now have hope that is beyond what you can see. You are content with it. You know, we are content. We say, Chibi, I do charity. Brethren are dwelling in my house now. I love the brethren. You are content with it. But until you and I come to maturity, we cannot be tamed, because the husband man waited for precious fruits. Firstly, you know, we say states. And there are different states in fruitfulness. There are different measures that you and I must come to in fruitfulness. So until maturity, you know, this thing, it must be a personal mandate that you have. That you will not stop until you come to all of the maturity God wants you to come to. So there is a maturity that God expects. Now, the occurrence of fruitfulness or barrenness is a phenomenon within the soul of a believer. So it is, when you talk about fruitfulness or barrenness, it's where the seed is sown is in the soul. So it stays within the soul. And it's also good to know that you shouldn't just look at fruitfulness. You know, many people, they look at a woman, they say the woman is fruitful because she has many children. You will know that God's definition of fruitfulness. Isaiah said, break forth, O barren women. Many are the children of the barren. It's only the Lord that can let you know that the barren is fruitful. So it means you can have 7 children and the world calls you, that woman is a very fruitful woman, but heaven says this one is barren. He said, fruitfulness can be described to the extent to which the soul has conformed to the image of God, representing the degree to which the laws of God have been formed in that soul. So it shows that there are different measures of fruitfulness. Matthew 13:23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understanding it, and also beareth fruits, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So you can see there are different measures. And you know that for this measure, there's a way it is done. You know, Bible says, when it's fruitful, heaven will prune it so that it can bear more. So there are measures. Now, Mark 4:26-29, just to clearly state that. And it says, so is the kingdom of heaven, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep, rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He shall know not. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the hair, and after that, the full corn in the head. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sick, because the harvest is come. So our harvest will not come until we come to maturity. Fruitfulness is giving expression to the life flowing from the vine, our Lord Jesus, into the branches. John 15, it says, I am the vine. Ye are what? The branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know what was amazing about Jesus calling himself vine tree? I was just like, it's only Jesus, sha. Jesus the meek. If it's me, I'll say I'm Iroko tree. I am Iginla. No, which other tree is the biggest, strongest tree? I am the cedar. Just give myself one name. Only Jesus will take. See the way the thing is just, it's just not far from us. I am the vine tree. If you read about the vine tree, he's taking this form because of the grape and the wine that must be pressed for to give the Father pleasure. I just say, Iroko, I mean you. What do you call yourself? My origami tree. I am the Araba. But he says, I am the vine tree. And this is a tree while in progress. So when Jesus was saying, we are the branch joined to divine tree, it means that there is no fruiting. Do you know where fruit are? Where is the fruit of a vine on? On the branch. On the branch. So this makes you understand. And when they say the fruit of the Spirit, many people have read that Galatians as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. No. And because of that, they don't have ownership that there must be a replica of this nature in them. Because they feel that it's the Holy Spirit. No, the fruit. That means the expression that ascertain that you are a branch that is joined to the vine is that you are fruiting. Because where fruit must come forth is in you and I. Where the Father wants to take pleasure from is in you and I. It is on that branch that the wine must be pressed out from the fruit, because the Father must drink. Another name to say fruitfulness is, we call it growth. We call it increase. We call it profit. It measures our capacity to utilize the resources heaven has given you and I. Colossians 1 says that you might walk worthy unto what? All pleasing. Being what? Fruitful in every what? Good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That means you can have good work and not be fruitful. You know, because you see, this lesson, what it must do, it must set you and I on a race. It must bring us to a place where we are pushing, we are running. Praise God. He says, being fruitful in every. So it's not enough to say you have good work. And you know, this is not doing good work, or it's not charity organization. Say being fruitful in every good work, increasing, because when they say the next thing they put is increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Timothy 4, he says, meditate upon these things. He said, give thyself only to them that what? Profiting may appear to all. There's a profit. There's a profiting that you and I must, there was a profit everyone must benefit from us. Can you remember the parable of the talent? That's heaven. Heaven must not leave you. The measure heaven has committed to you 10 years ago, it must not be the same very much they will reap from you when it comes to life in the Spirit, when it comes to understanding. You know, many of us, we carry with pride, you know, rustic understanding, with pride, things that are archaic. When it comes to the same measure, some people, the same measure of how they can forgive is what they be. They can only forgive this measure. The years have not dealt in them to increase in their measure of forgiveness. Some people, their love is like this. The people in the circumference, in their space, is just like this. There has not been profiting. And that's what the word of God must do to you. That's how we know you are fruitful. If how you are is the same you are, my brother and my sister, examine yourself. You know, we have said it. You know that even in your, when you say you are speaking in tongues, you are praying in the Spirit, if it is still the same routine, my brother and my sister, examine yourself. There's no growth. If you still struggle with many things, and you know there's a way you can have this thing and you just don't know, and there's a way, you know, when you know and you are just okay with it. And that's how a lot of believers do their Christian life. The same way they've been when they gave their life to Christ. There has not been an increase in the measure of the life of God. There has not been an increase in understanding. There has not been an increase. Nothing. You know, and they are comfortable. And you know, there's a way you can still hold on to, you know, maybe it's flower. You know, the process of agriculture. Bible, we've seen it. It says, first a blade. And you carry the blade with pride. You don't understand. 10 years, 20 years, you're still carrying the blade with pride. It's a dangerous place to be. Because what this lesson is supposed to do is to create a cry in our hearts. You see, the way somebody who is barren and waiting for fruit of the womb, 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, 15 years, there's just a cry in their hearts. There's just a cry. You know, that's the way many of us need to respond when it comes to when we are not fruiting. When your anger, I mean, as a believer, we can still know you with it. I mean, your brethren have endured this anger. They know that, sister, this is always this. Oh, and they've been arranging you. They bear you for 5 years. And you have not even, and you are normal. You are okay. An enemy has done this. Ephesians says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro,
carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, corny craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, let's stop this flat Christianity. The Christianity you and I have been called to is upward, is vertical. You must grow up. There has to be a growing up. Just the way a parent will not be normal when their children are not growing up. You can't be okay. You can't say you are okay when there's no growth. Have you seen a child who has growth or learning disability? Do the parents relax? From therapy to this, to this, to prayer, houses to, because no parent likes to see their child not growing, stagnant. So, you know, it's not amazing how believers are comfortable with stagnancy, with barrenness. In the natural, you are not comfortable with barrenness. And then you are just normal with it. Because people, every normalcy, the Lord will break us from it. Now, one thing that shows that the fruit of the Spirit is being developed in you and I is fruitfulness. You can't be telling us that you have spirits and we are not seeing the fruit of the Spirit. It's a lie. You can't be saying that. Because one of the things we need to see when you are being fruitful is to see more of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, when you say you are fruitful, we should see more expression of love, expression of meekness, expression of kindness. You can't be a believer and you are mean. You know, the world is making men mean. You know that? If you live in this country, the way cost of food is increasing every week, if people live with you, you'll be counting the grains of rice they eat in their mouths. Because you'll just be growing more mean. You see the way you do charity? No, we have said it, that those that know their God, be strong and do exploit on our faith. So that when you have brethren living with you, you have people living with you, when they are drinking water, your heart will not be saying, hey! We take two scoops of rice, you say, ah! Reduce it. You'll be following everything. You become mean. And a lot of believers are falling into that ploy. Believers are mean because there are many stories, actually many stories that touch their hearts. People are becoming more devilish. And it's normal. It's scriptural. Say the darkness will fill the earth. Thick gross darkness. But light shall shine upon a people. That conversation of the world must not be found in us. So one way we know that you are growing. You see, Nigeria is a good place to grow. Oh my God. This atmosphere. If you want to fruit. You see, I'm not surprised why we are having so many words that is talking about the appearance of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. Because the atmosphere is perfect condition. You don't understand. Everything is conditioning us. And the only thing you must just tell us, oh, let me just grow. At least, I wish I grow, sha. If I will not get it, at least I wish I grow vertically. Because, you know, we don't run from pressure. Just people pressure, persecution, and more will come. More. It's good we are telling ourselves this something. More will come. Because we know those are our elements of growth. Those conditions, we need it to board out and flesh out. We need it. So you can't say that you are fruitful when we are not seeing the expression of the Spirit. We're not seeing more meek. But rather, your voice is becoming more loud. And you're saying, I'm growing, I'm growing. You, my brother, Mora, sis, don't deceive yourself. Manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit reflects the nature of Christ and Father that one soul has embraced. That one soul has embraced. While manifestation of fruitfulness in natural realm may include anointing, may include wealth, it may include influence, it may include material possession. The presence or absence of this element does not definitely determine whether a man is truly fruitful or not. God's people, it does not. There's anointing, that there's wealth, that there's material possession, or that, you know, there's anything in the natural is not a yardstick to measure fruitfulness. Because anything in the natural cannot transcend to the world to come. Is it true that you can see them as part of? That's why we say may. Yes. Because the Bible says the gift of God are without repentance. You can be used for gifts and anointing, and yet there's no fruitfulness. That is where I fear God. I fear God. Oh my shandara, bad as in,
A man can be dead with anointing.
Anointing is not a validation for fruitfulness. I was explaining to someone, I said anointing is just like they use you, the thing comes upon you, because anointing is not your strength. They anoint you for it, for a task. You finish the task, it lifts. Ask our men, our pastors, our minister. When they are ministering, they do all manners of orishirishi, but once they are done, what a weakening. So the man will know that of a truth, I am just an instrument. I was telling someone, I said I watched one Kenegi, you know, just like some of our brothers and sisters that give tongues and their tongues has many display. You know, when they are giving the tongues and they are jumping, and some of them they fall. When they are doing, they don't know the pain. But when they get up, I watched that Kenegi. I'm sure it's a very popular one. The pulpit was high like this. The man jumped over. Honestly, I had to rewind that video. And guess what? He didn't follow. He jumped. Bah, oh, and he was still. I said, wow. I said, it's only the Spirit of God that can carry that to me. But when he gets home, I took a jump. So anointing is not, it's not a validation that you are fruitful. That you see a man of God having, you know, cars, a man of God having this, a man of God, and you see a crowd, does not mean there's fruitfulness taking place. Most men of God, especially in this order, they fear crowd. You don't know that there's more when you carry mic. You know, one of the things I was praying, God, I want to talk about fruitfulness. I said, this thing must start with me. Oluwa, I am not a signboard to heaven. I am not a signboard to maturity. God forbid. I don't want to be a post. And I will not enter. So it's not that you are married does not mean you are fruitful. That you are married does not mean you are unfruitful. That you are barren in the natural. And guess what? No woman is barren. You are not barren. You are not barren. When it comes to children, if you understand the concept of fruiting, you are not barren, both in the natural or not. Because firstly, we first know that our children is not only the children from our lions. You know, it's because you are narrow, that you have not understand the estate that you occupy, the reason why they brought you. So whether you have delay in childbearing or not, does not mean whether you have a job. And then, you know, some people feel that they are fruitful, they are growing as a believer because they are changing jobs into different degrees of 7 digits, 9 digits. Some people feel they are fruitful because they have influence. That's not growth. Growth is not in numbers. Any growth that is natural is not fruitfulness. Actually, does God add to us? Yes. Does God give to us? Yes. Does God bless us in the natural? Yes. But we know that is not in these things. We know that they just give us. We must see things that did God just allow us come to something so that, oh yeah, focus. So at least this one is here now. Let's continue. Let this not be a distraction. That's why they give us natural things. And you know that principle Jesus said when he was talking about that soul. You don't lay up yourself treasures here on earth. That the man's life is not consistent, not in the abundance of things which he possess. So it means true life and fruitfulness is in what you have not yet possessed. Is in what you are still pursuing. And he said, you know, the grant of that rich man and the man that said, oh, yeah, solo, I will expand my band. Take, you know. And then the Lord said, fool. Thou fool, this night your soul is required of thee. Then who shall those things be that thou hast provided? So is it that laid up himself, treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God? So fruitfulness is being rich towards God. It is being rich towards God. And now says there's more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And Jesus again, in the parable, Matthew 7, 21 to 23, when he talked about the two companies, the goats and the sheep, he said, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name cast out devils. Jesus is speaking, no? If you read your Bible, it will be in red. You know when Jesus is speaking? Listen. And in thy name done wonderful what? Works. And then will I profess to them, I knew you not. Depart from me, that walk in iniquity. So knowing the Lord is being fruitful. We can't come to that place, Lord, I want to know you. There's no knowing without fruitfulness. Because remember, that's our brand. The Lord will come to eat of it. You will come to eat of it. That is where you will say you know the Lord. And when it comes to eat of it and there's no fruit to be found, then our fruitfulness is the Father's pleasure. Similar to every parent's wish for the growth of their children, nothing brings greater joy to the Father than witnessing his children produce enduring fruit. That's it. The Lord has pleasure in us fruitful. The Lord has pleasure when I grow in my measure of forgiveness. The Lord has pleasure when I grow in my measure of love. The Lord has pleasure when I grow in my measure of patience. Patience, endurance. He has pleasure when I grow in my measure of discerning one another. He has pleasure as a wife when I come under my husband more. He has pleasure when I know how to love him more. He has pleasure when a husband can love his wife as Christ loved the church. I'm telling you, those are the things that give him pleasure. He has pleasure. And he's the sower. The Father is the sower. He's a planter who travels sowing the word in seed form, aspiring for fruitfulness in the diverse vessels where the word takes root. These vessels represent various heart condition. There is a sower that sows the word. There's what the Lord, by hearing, you know, we know that the word of God, you know, we said it will not return to him, for it means that God expects a measure of increase and multiplication for the word to return to him. So he sows the word, you know, and there are different measures of word and seed. You know, there are seeds. There are different seeds that we have seen. There's the seed of the incorruptible life that talks about the promise, that talks about what God wants to bring to us, that talks about the very intention. So you see that when God was creating man, Adam and Eve, he had an intention of seed. He was seed form, but he knew. And that was why the commandment said, be fruitful and multiply. That commandment is not a BCRSC. You know, that's how Yoruba version does it. That, you know, it just looks like, you know, just go and born in. No! There is a multiplication of life that God expects Adam to come into. And that's why they call him the first man. Because we saw that same life of our Lord Jesus. So you will know that be fruitful and multiply that God was referring to in the garden was not about bearing children. Because our Lord Jesus did not bear any natural children. Yet he is fruitful. They became the fullness of the Godhead bodily by obedience. Our Lord Jesus, it was not about marrying. Our Lord Jesus did not marry in the natural. But heaven called him the last Adam. And he said he's the last Adam that has many brethren. And heaven turns him fruitful. The Bible looks at him even in the days of his flesh. When he has not even come to the full manifestation, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What has he done? Daddy was teaching us. He had not done a miracle. He was just being baptized by growth. By growth. What the measure of life he had come to. And heaven could say, this is my son. He has not done a miracle. And I also need to say this. As the Lord sows, we too sow. Man too is a sower. You know where we sow to? You see, this is our hearts. You receive the seed of God. You also receive our own seed. Galatians, he said, whatever a man sow, do not be deceived. Say, whatever a man sow, he shall reap. So our sowing is actually our response. The way we respond is what we are sowing. So man sows too. Say, be not be deceived. God is not more. For whatever a man soweth, thou shall he also reap. Read 8. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap what? Life everlasting. 9. He said, but let us be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what we have seen, man? Man knows how to sow to corruption. Man knows how to sow to flesh. And that's why man can sow to flesh. Many of us, we sponsor flesh. In fact, we endorse flesh. We sponsor it. We support flesh. We motivate it. We do everything. We are the godfather of flesh. Flesh is a program in every man. But you know, what we're supposed to do was to begin to ensure that the life of flesh, we are redeemed from it. Because anytime you respond to flesh, you are sponsoring flesh. So some corruptions in our life is as a result of what we have sown. You know, you can't tell me as a young person, when you keep company with people you should not keep company with, corruption is at your door. You can't be engaged in some things and you say, you will repeat. It's just a law. You see, sowing and reaping is a law of the earth. You say, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest time shall not cease. He's also the husbandman who is patiently waiting for the fruit of the vine. John 15, he says what? Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear what? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciple. Because people, fruitfulness is the evidence of discipleship. You can't say I'm a disciple of Jesus if we cannot see you budding the life that shows that you have been with Jesus. He now says that James that we read. He said, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. There's long patience. There's long patience though. Because you see, there must be a fruiting for the early and the latter rain. There must be. Now, what delights the Lord is not our numerous sacrifices or Christian activities. It doesn't lie in our piousness or self-righteousness. What genuinely pleasures God is when the soul bears fruit. Christian activity and sacrifices, if it's outside of allowing the soul bear fruit, is a waste of time. It means that you shouldn't do any activity without your heart. You can't serve without your heart. But we find that many believers, they've mastered the art of serving without their hearts. They have mastered the act of activity. You see, that one, when you do that, you are robbing yourself. A man can rob himself. Oh, it's not only arm robber that can rob a man. You can rob yourself. You can rob yourself. Because when you do that, there's no pleasure. It's a sacrifice of fools. You know, one of the things you must tell yourself is that, I don't want to do that and I'm done. Any sacrifice, I want it to be art engagement that will lead to movement of journey. Movement that will lead to fruitfulness. You can't be coming to church. You know, our Father in the Lord is coming today. What is your expectation? I ask you. Did you come empty? One proof that you came empty is gisting and staying outside when you should be in church. So that means you're coming. Is that not a sacrifice of food? You came for media to capture you? Or you came to mark attendance? Everything. 2 John says, I delight that my children walk in truth. Now, a believer and saint in the light, if as believers and saints in the light, if we aim to truly delight and please God, we must earnestly prioritize and focus on the matter of fruitfulness. If you are here and you feel that, yes, God is speaking to us, we have the present emphasis of heaven. If fruitfulness is not your priority, you lie. If you are hearing the doctrine of Christ, faith, and you are not fruiting in it, you are a liar. You are not seeing on how you can bring forth the life expression in what you are hearing. All you have is head knowledge. It's called precepts. You have not embodied it to become lying. Dangers of barrenness or unfruitfulness. Spiritual fruitfulness is often linked to growth in one's faith. Without spiritual fruitfulness, there may be stagnation or a lack of progression in one's spiritual journey. Such a soul will always be a child and more susceptible to temptation and negative influences. No parent wants children who are having growth disability. So, a soul that is not growing is actually easily swayed, is vulnerable. You know, in a time of war, who are the most vulnerable? Children and women. When you are a child, and you know, Ephesians, we have read, he said, henceforth, be no more children. Toss, toe, and fro. And the instruction he now said that you may grow up. So, growth is what will make you not to be toe and fro. Growth is what will make you not be perpetually under the bondage of devil. So, you know, growth is very, very important. And then, you know, for instance, just in faith in the Lord, milk faith, some believers still struggle with demons. They struggle with demonology. Just a growth of knowing that as a believer, faith in the Lord Jesus, in Mark that says, in my name you will cast out. Know that you don't need to be anointed to cast out demons because it's not in your name. It's not in your authority. You know, people have a lot of drama. I mean, some of us have done that in Bapas, and you know, you struggle with demon and all that. These demons know how to weary people. I'm telling you, if a demon wants to display, and I can turn this flower to red, and the whole church can begin to pray. What is happening here? And you just do all manners. If you leave demons, they can take over the service. You've not seen meetings that people will go to. The whole meeting from morning till night, they are casting out demons. What's happening here? Is that the essence of gathering? He said, forsake not the fellowship of the brethren, so that you can cast out demons. If that was what the early church was doing, who had the Bible? There'll be no epistle. So that's growth. So some people stay in that place. You know, they stay there. I'm just trying to see. They are tossed. They have a dream. Demon, I say they weary people, they don't allow you focus to commune with the Lord. Because you know, this whole world is under angels' manipulation. Both fallen and unfallen angels, they can manipulate the earth. It's in scripture. When one is not yielding fruit, one will be under perpetual bondage of darkness and evil. Such a soul will be under the bondage of sin. Such a soul will not walk worthy unto what pleasing, unto the reality of the freedom that the Lord Jesus obtained for us in his sacrifice. Colossians 11:13. The reason why we struggle with some works of the flesh, pornography, masturbation, fornication, the reason why we struggle is because we have not grown. When you grow, the answer to darkness is growth. When you grow, some things, they will just fall off. Because say when he has grown fat, he will break the yoke. You grow and see if the yoke will not break. Because let me tell you, each time we grow, they change spirits. They change holy spirits that work against us. You don't know. The way each time we grow, they even change angels. Spirits, they just are more here to know you. The day you have sight on some matters, this day you can see, and even by scripture you see, some things will leave you. The spirit will just go back. Say, who had delivered us from the power? Say, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. We had made us meet with partakers of inheritance of the saints in life, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God's people, we need to grow up. Romans 6:21-23 says, what fruit had you been in those things wherefore you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. There are things that bring us shame. But now, being made free. See, that being made free is being fruitful. See, being made free from sin and become servants to God. Ye have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Things catch up with you when you don't grow. And when you are not fruitful, things catch up with you. You can't even afford to remain how you are. When you know Revelation, when the seals are being opened, one of the things you say, and there's a lot of spirits that are falling. A lot of sophisticated spirits are falling onto the earth. We've not seen darkness. You know, men are becoming more mean. There are some culturing. So that's why you can't remain how you are. So that you will not be part of those that will say, woe to the men of the earth. Woe! Woe! Because lack of fruitfulness, woe will catch up with somebody. As a cry, say you should run. Say run, run, people of God, run, 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 run to growth, run to measure, run, run, grow up, for there are yet yardsticks of growth. Grow up. Is a call to grow up. Is a call to come up. Is a call. For it's a call. Is a call to fruit out. Is a call. I call. I say grow up. Run. Run. For there's danger. There's danger in remaining. There's danger in remaining. There's danger in staying. In staying down. Grow up, son. Grow up, daughter. Grow up. Grow up. The answer to that which has laid hold on you is growth, is growth. Can you be committed to your growth? Can you be committed to it? Well, I am committed to nurture. I am committed to bring. I'm committed because I seek fruit.
I seek fruits over a generation. I seek fruits. I seek fruits. Hallelujah. A spiritual barren life can lead to emotional and mental struggles, such feelings of emptiness, purposelessness, dissatisfaction. Barrenness results in a loss of essential components of spiritual well-being, which are fruits of the Spirit, i.e. love, joy, peace, faith. These things are integral to a spiritually fruitful life. So the reason why people say they are depressed, you know, there's some, you know, you get depressed, you know, they are empty. I feel empty. I feel lonely. Loneliness is not wholesomeness. You said it, that there's something being alone and being lonely. Loneliness is like a desert. It's a desertification. You know, there's some people like that. And believers, we've had believers who say they are depressed. Believers who feel that, oh, God is far from them. They forget that it's faith. It's not feeling. Some believers are sensual. Some people, is that the reason why they can say that God is in a place is when they have goosebumps. The reason why some people can say God is in a place is when chairs are breaking. It's because some people are falling under the anointing. You don't know that it's faith. Because some people are highly sensual, highly emotional. God placed emotion not to govern you and I. God placed emotion. Emotions are supposed to be tools in our response to God. Like we're telling our women, a woman must be passionate when they come to our Lord. But what are we saying? The reason why you will not have this is because you are not fruity. When you come to peace, see, you will still see more depression. Because Nigeria can depress you. We have some reports you hear that will just make your heart sink. When some companies were cutting costs, imagine you that you have planned your life on your salary and the company tells you they are reducing, they are cutting, or they are even downsizing. You know, there's a way you can just go down. But when you know that, one expression of that you are fruited is that you know that God is my sustenance. So there's a peace that passes all understanding that is not subject to what is happening in Nigeria. You see, let dollar come to, I don't know what dollar wants to come to. Because we know that there's an economy that as a believer we are part of. The Bible says, and there was what? Farming in the land. And Isaac sowed in the land. And reaped. See, these are the times where God has said he's going to give money and economy power to his people. So, we are not people that get tired of Nigeria and run away. We know our God. The people that don't know their God. Even in hell. You don't understand. In hell. Did you see what God did in hell? Barrenness can result in poor communion with God. Hindering communication. Intimacy. And a sense of his presence in one's life. When you're spiritually barren, you will feel God is far from you. You see that feeling? You know, many of us as believers, when we're baby believers, we had it. That you'll be looking for the presence of God. Where is his presence? Where is it? As if God has left you. God has left you. You forget that he says he will never leave you or forsake you. You see, and because a lot of believers are so in tune with feelings and senses, that's how they just conclude. And Satan takes them on a ride. He says, you forget that Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. The access and boldness we have to come is not our faith. He said, by the faith of him, by the expression of life of him, I am boldening. God, you know, one of the things Satan does to believers when they fall into infirmity is to make them feel that God hates them. Now, you should confess your sin when you fall into works of the flesh. But actually, the person that has the answer to that sin is the person you must go to. It's God. But Satan wants you not to go to him. So he fills you with a feeling, you know, that feeling of, you know, some people, I mean, you know, Satan, he knows how to bring divide between you and the Lord. Because he's the Lord. There are believers that said because they fell into sin, they won't come to church. Church is not for perfect people. All of us here, including myself, we are very sick. I have a problem. You have a problem. Church was never for perfect people. Come with your infirmity. Because it's when you hear the word will just minister to you. I mean, I remember them back in uni. We had people say, why didn't you come to fellowship? And they are confessing their sin, but they just felt like, you know, I've done this and that. They don't want to. They will say, some will be so even spiritual. They want to corrupt the atmosphere. You know, they confess your sin. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. And then you must know that you have a problem. Confess your sin and come to accountability and how you can come out of it. Where can you go from his presence? So you should never relate with God with how you feel. You know that feeling, that goosebumps feeling. There are times when you're having your communion life, there's no goosebumps feeling. You just know that I'm here to talk to my God. And that's faith. You know that's faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And every day is not seen. The moment it becomes seen, it's not faith. Psalm 39, he said, where can I go from your presence? David, in all manners of shades from the presence, whether in the depths is there, whether is this is there. So where are you running from? Who are you running from? God's desire is for believers to be fruitful and fulfill their purpose. You know, spiritual barrenness may hinder individuals from realizing and living out God's intended purpose for their lives. When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. That's one thing when you are not fruitful. It's as we fruit, as we grow, that our purpose become clearer. As we grow, because many of us, we gave our lives to Christ because we wanted to go to heaven. But as we begin to grow, you now know that there is a program that is beyond heaven. Because you see that heaven and earth will pass away. But there's still a program that talks about image and likeness. The program that talks about what Jesus authored. Not just the world, but that which is to come. You know, it's knowledge that brings you. Bible says in Romans 8:29, it says, for those he foreknew, he predestined. You know, some people feel their destiny is to become the president of Nigeria. That's not destiny. Our destiny is to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's our destiny. It's fruitfulness that makes this clear. Otherwise, many of us will be carrying the purpose of being the chief financial officer of Nigeria or World Bank. That's not destiny. That's not purpose. So the reason why they foreknew you, the reason why they gave you expression in this earth is because they want you to be conformed to an image. The reason why where you are stationed, you know, people wish they were born in another country. But you see, Nigeria is actually the perfect embodiment of where you ought to be born. You are born outside of Nigeria, you do not come to destiny. Some of us, we should be born by other parents. Your parents were the best people to vehicle you here. And they are the best. Whether they are good, the bad, the ugly, you know, and you must know it and know peace. All of those things are tools. I see some people keep running away from their natural family. You don't understand. Some people try to explain their parents' mistakes and faults. They will look where. Did they consult you when they were going to marry? And you should understand, acknowledge the working of grace that made you and called you out from that place. You shouldn't be ashamed. Satan brings shame. Ephesians 3:9-11 says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, had been hid in God, who created all things by who? Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to what? The eternal purpose, which he proposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So there's an eternal purpose that was proposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And they said there's a fellowship of the mystery. And that's been from the beginning. They say it was hidden. Our Lord Jesus, one of the things he came to do is to unveil this mystery. You see why we need our Lord? Jesus didn't just come to heal the sick. You know that all of those things are not why the second person in the Godhead will embody this. It can be. There's an eternal purpose. And when you are not fruiting, you can't know this purpose. You can't know this mystery. It's growth that makes your eyes enlightened. I mean, we see in Ephesians, he said that what? After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all saints, cease not to pray for you that it's come to another measure, that the Lord will do what? Grant unto you what? Wisdom and understanding, that you may come. They may come unto what? Be given unto the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That's growth. That's fruiting. What is the hope of his calling? And what the riches of his inheritance in the saints? If you have not done the allocation of faith in the Lord and love towards all the saints, you can't come here. You must be fruitful. You can't be fruitful and say, I'm born again, and that is all there is. There's another allocation, because after this one too, there's also another allocation. So it's not okay. Many of us are very satisfied. You know, a lot of people that are just satisfied with crumbs. They are satisfied with crumbs. You know, when they say Davidic heart, hearts that will not rest. A heart that will not rest until until he's able to build an habitation for his God. And that habitation, we have come to see that we are the habitation of the Lord. Spiritual barrenness can hinder harmonious communion with members of the household of faith, as the overflow of spiritual fruit is essential for relating and fellowshipping with others positively. When you are not growing, you have issues relating with brethren. Not only brethren, you have issues relating with your neighbor. Some of us are bad neighbors. We have issues relating with your colleagues when you are not growing. You know, some believers in office, they are just casco. They are so extreme that some people don't even know they are believers. But there are some people, they are so spooky. Anything, they are just like this. Imagine Jesus in that your workplace. Just imagine Jesus. And see where Jesus, you'll be amazed. You know, it's growth that will make you know that spirituality is not spookiness. Spirituality is not cutting yourself away from the brethren. And spirituality is not you trying to belong. And you're now breaking every laws of conscience and the laws of life. It's fruitfulness that will make you know how to behave. You're just yourself. You don't understand. And you know, and there's just a sweetness and a fragrance that just comes from you. You know, some of us are bad neighbors. Bad neighbors. Bad interaction with your neighbor. You see your neighbor, everybody is performing. We can't greet. Yeah, I don't want anybody to stress me. I don't want anybody. I don't know where you learned that from. Fruitlessness put one in danger of being cut down by the Father. When a soul is not making profit with the provisions of God for him, heaven considers it a waste. I mean, necessary such a soul being moved aside to make room for others who are willing to engage. Come out for road. Clear road. Does that sound like clear road? Remember the parable of the talents, the person that went to hide his talents. What did they do? They took the one from him and they gave. He said, every branch, John 15, 12. Jesus is the one talking. He's in red in your Bible. Say, every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he does what? He taketh away. Luke 13, 7 to 9. Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it in the ground? Why is it taking space? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. See, there are some of us, we're having a chance to be fruitful again. He said, let it alone. Till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that, I shall cut it down. See, the reason why they are sustaining you and I and bringing resources of the angelic and everything is because you have salvation to do. The moment you are bankrupt of salvation, there is no sovereign discussion much. If Satan brings things around you, you can have him. Let's move on. That's the reason. The reason why you are, see, those who are kept by God's power unto salvation, you must know it. The reason why we are kept is because they are expecting fruitfulness. I hope some of us will not exhort the measure of that 1 year. No, it's not 1 year. But that measure of that giving us to be fruitful again. You know, being cut off does not mean you are taken away naturally. You can be cut off from the program of God. You can be cut off from inheritance. You can cut off and go to heaven and not come to inheritance. So barrenness in the life of God is fruitlessness in darkness. So when you are not fruitful here, you are actually fruitful elsewhere. You know that? When your eyes is blind to the things of God, your eyes is open. You don't know that? So that you are not being fruitful in the things of God, it means you are being fruitful in the works of the flesh. You are being fruitful in the agenda of Satan. And the reason why they quickly cut you off, so that you not be ripened. Because what fruit will ripen, no? Yeah, grapes of the earth. That's one of the reasons. So there's no middle ground. It's yea or nay. Eventually, that soul receives fruitfulness in the environment of God's life. We get worse and we attract cursing from God. It has been cursed before it begins to defile other souls. So they curse it before it defiles other soul. Cursing is limitation. When they say curse means it's limited. Some people can come to unfruitfulness by the decisions they made in their life. There's some people you must not marry. You marry them, you are limited for life. Along, back then in uni, I think I was approaching 200 level, and the Lord woke me up. And then immediately, there was a lot of auction and trust is coming. When it comes to marriage, and you must allow me to choose for you, to choose for me. You think, God, if you don't choose for me, you just know that it's not because I stopped loving you, you've limited me on how far I can take you. And in fact, I was not in anything.
But that word, I now knew that there are some decisions you can take that can actually bring limitation to your life. Some of us, are we not limited because of some decisions we've taken in the past? We need to cry. He says, Hebrews 6, 7 to 8. He says, for the earth, we drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nay unto cursing, whose end is to be what? Born. Mark 11, 13 to 14. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find any things thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet come. And Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee thereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. That time of figs, is what, that means that thing was thinking he had his own time. Blessing of fruitfulness. Every fruitful soul will always receive the Father's blessing and approval. You want the Father's blessing and approval? Be fruitful. Increase. Hebrews 6, 7. By whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. John 15, 2b says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth that he may bring forth more fruit. I've explained the fact that there's a vision between much and more. You know, much is when you have large or plenty of something. More is still when you have something in comparison to. So God doesn't just want us to stay in more. God wants us to go from more to come to much. And the blessing of fruitfulness is more fruits and much more fruits. Deeper realms of God's life will be open unto such a soul. So when you are fruitful, you come to more measure and deeper measure of the Lord. 2 Peter 1 verse 8. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall not fall. But so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus. So you can see that if you do these things, doing these things is being fruitful. He said, you shall never fall. He said, when things abound, what we come into is more entrance. You can't come into entrance if you are not fruitful with that measure that you have. If you have not done some certain measure of God, well, you and I cannot come into another measure. Ultimately, the blessing of fruitfulness is a crown of life and a gift of God, which is eternal life. James 1, 12 say, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 2, 7. It said, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. When we are fruitful, we receive the Father's blessing. We come into deeper realms and different measure of God. We come into blessings of the crown of life, blessings of eternal life. God is not going to crown what is not fruitful. Would you do that if you were God? Well, will anyone take pleasure in unripe fruit? Will you take pleasure in just being a branch, twigs with nothing on it? No, God does not take pleasure in that. So what will qualify you and I to come into, you know, all that God has for us is blessing. So, you know, it's not amazing when, you know, as a believer, you feel that it's enough for you to be born again, it's enough for you to speak in tongues, but it's not enough for you to grow, and you expect that that is what God wants to receive. When you go to heaven, angels, let me not say they'll give you a knock. Because the reason why, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister to them that what? The reason why angels minister to us is because of salvation. It's because of you coming to that maturity where you can receive eternal life in its full measure. That's why there's ministration. The reason why they preserve our life, the reason why they bring things for provision, everything is towards this being an heir of salvation. And they know it, and they know it very well. They are not confused about it. So imagine all your life, these people have ministered to you because of salvation. And then you drop your body at 80, 90. When they check salvation level in you, maybe it is just in the toe or in the knee. You will go to heaven quite all right. But heaven doing what? Even if you see your parents, your some people receive scolding in heaven. No, it's not judgment. As in, people will scold you. Yeah. Because any time we have here is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to be fruitful. The reason why you and I, we breathe in oxygen, is that we can increase in measure. We can multiply. I'm praying that the Lord will visit us afresh. In the name of Jesus. He will cause us to come into this more measure. In the name of Jesus. Can we begin to respond to God?
Amen. Thank you so much, Mommy, for the labor. And, thank you so much for watering us always. The Lord will replenish you in Jesus' name. In Genesis 1, so God created man in his own image. Image of God created he him. Created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. You know, through teachings, we have come to realize that, you know, for God to come into the realm of creation, you know, he had to leave eternity to come to the realm of creation. So, what I see in this scripture is that if the first thing the Lord did to man is that it should be fruitful, then it means in the realm of eternity, God's desire for fruitfulness was born in his heart, you know, because he had not been formed yet. So I'm saying fruitfulness is an eternity mindset. So when you are hearing fruitfulness, it's not just, okay, come and bear fruit, come and show fruit of the Spirit. You know, the way we say God's thought is family, the same way your fruitfulness is also God's thought. Because when he stepped down from the realm of eternity, these are the words that he said. He said, be fruitful. So the first thing about fruitfulness is not our physical. You know, that Mommy was talking about while she was teaching. You know, it's not first in our anointing. It's not first in what, you know, how much wealth we can acquire. You know, because what should bear fruit is the soul. Because when he began formation, he was beginning to see how that there is that which the soul must be fruit. One thing we must know is that if we are being formed in sin, as Psalm 51 we say, it says, behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive. So we can see that anyone that will bear fruit must be deliberate. Because he that planted seed of sin in man was also deliberate. You know, I just see, you know, bearing fruit as going against gravity. You must be deliberate. You must be conscious. You, yes, it's a walk. You know, anyone that is doing it must know what is going against. Anyone that wants to bear fruit. One of the morning devotions that he was talking about, how that as a farmer, you will not plant vegetable in the season where we have heavy rain. What brings that understanding to you is because you have been deliberate. Because you know that in the season when there's heavy rain, if I'm planting vegetable, it will be swept away. So when you are bearing fruit, a season of bearing fruit is a thing that every soul must deliberately do. It's something deliberate. You know, that daily coming to church on Sunday, listening to broadcast, it's something deliberate. According to the way Mommy said, he said, being deliberate and conscious effort with a strong desire. You know, that's why scripture will say, well, you must have desire when you pray. Because you know that without desire, you cannot receive. And what we have read in the book of Act of Intercession, we're talking about how that, you know, you cannot receive anything from God except man pray. The same way, we will not bear fruit until we have that strong desire. God's blessing for mankind is to be fruitful. You know, another strong point Mommy raised, you know, while she was teaching was how that there was a clear definition of what fruitfulness is. And according to the way Mommy taught it, was that fruitfulness is being rich towards God. So we should not fall to the trap of seeing our fruitfulness as things external manifestation. What bears fruit in me is how I am rich towards God. Because if you look at that parable in Luke 12:21,
verse 20, he said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul. So it means that God demands, you know, like the husbandman is looking for a precious fruit. And where you will bear that fruit is in the soul. The same way the scripture is now saying that, you know, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not what? He is not rich towards God. So fruitfulness is being what? Rich towards God. Another thing I want to quickly emphasize is Matthew 7:21, when he was saying that, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that walketh iniquity. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. You know, you now said, I never knew you. So knowing is to allow the work of God to be done in me. He said, I never knew you. It's not possible for God to be working in you, and he does not know that he's working in you. Because he comes at times to come and check the level of work he's doing. So when he sends seeds and he sends words to plant, he's knowing you. You are cutting costs with him. He's giving you things, but Jesus answered them. He said, my father walketh in tattoo, and I do what? And I walk. So I just see this Matthew 7:21 to 23. He said, I never knew you. It's because they did not allow the work of God to be done in them. So the work of God being done in us is to make us depart from iniquity. Now what am I saying is that allow God work upon our soul. As you are being watered, as you are being taught, as teaching is going on, you know, as you are allowing those work to be done, and you are bearing fruit. Colossians 1 verse 9. It says, for this cause we also since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto what? All pleasing. Being what? Fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know why Pastor was praying? He was talking about a widow. How that she was what? A follower. And she was doing what? Being diligent in every good work. So I'm saying we will not be able to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing until we allow him to do a work in us. When we take step in faith, when we walk by faith, what is generating such a walk? Because we can walk as children of disobedience. It's because of the work of the enemy being wrought in them. That's why they can walk the way they are walking. So I'm saying when we are hearing teachings, when we are allowing the teachings, baptism, you know, is so that we can walk. And we will not generate work pleasing unto the Lord except the Lord has done a work in us. Because until Jesus allowed the work to be done in him, then a father can speak to him that this is my beloved son, in whom I am what? I am well pleased. It's the work on his inside that the father saw and it was well pleased. Mommy was saying how that, you know, when we become fruitful, one thing that happens to us is that we begin to know clearly the purpose of God for our lives. And one thing just played out in my heart, how that, you know, what makes Christianity boring to people is because they are not fruitful. What makes what? Christianity boring is because people are not bearing fruit. People have been in church for 10 years, and the same way they have been, even their neighbors they are living with, they know that they have not changed. So the more I bear fruit, before I see definition of why Christianity is, don't you think it's adventurous? Before, it was conforming to the image of Christ. Now, we are going into the things everlasting. Now, they are saying everlasting is not enough. That is about God. You cannot be hearing things like that, and it's not driving you to bear more fruit. The moment we begin to talk about fruit are in different levels. There is 30-fold of fruit. There is 60-fold of fruit. And there is what? There is 100. But it's only a man that knows the hope of his calling, as mommy read in Ephesians, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. When you don't know that hope, you will not come to a place where you are desiring of being fruitful. So fruitfulness will help me know purpose. So when I know going to heaven is not my purpose, when I know that there is a new heaven, there is a new earth, it's not all for it, then it will make me want to bear fruit. I know that at this level, I'm bearing fruit of 30. There is still more. So it increased my desire. It wants me to want to bear more fruit. Many of us are ready for this adventure with God, where I want to bear more fruit. I want to bear fruit the same way Jesus bore fruit, and he can have the fullness of God.
Amen. I want to thank our mommy for that great labor in the spirit. Amen. Okay, looking at this topic, we can see that this is actually what is in the heart of God for us. When prophecies were coming that we are entering a new phase, we are entering a new phase. One thing you'll find in a new phase is you find many seasons in a new phase. Many seasons, many unfoldings in a new phase. And one thing about fruitfulness, you know, when we talk about mango, talk about guava, talk about apple, is that there's a season for mango. And what makes mango season is because there's an enabling environment to bring forth mango at that particular point in time. The reason why you will not find guava in a mango time is because what is going to make guava come out is not the same environment that would favor mango. And one of the wisdom that the Western world, they are trying to cultivate is to create a particular kind of environment that can have a particular kind of season for a fruit throughout the year. So they know that as much as we can get this season, we can get this fruit. So if we can get a particular season and we engage well, there is a fruit that is supposed to come at the end of it. So everybody that we engage in this season will bear this fruit. When mommy was talking, what was really impressed on my heart is giving heed to how we seek him this time. John chapter 6. No, before that tongue came out, that was like a cry for growth. I wrote it down. I wrote a cry for growth. And as soon as I wrote it, that tongue just came out. And mama also said she felt there's a cry for growth this season. And as many as we engage, we begin to measure sustainable and substantiatable growth in your walk with God. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give unto you. For him had the Father sealed." The background of this story was that we see a people seeking the Lord. We see a people that traveled from one place to another. They left their house. They left the comfort of their house because they wanted to see the Lord. And when the Lord saw them, he said, "You are not seeking me because you saw the miracles." Miracle might have happened before your presence, but you did not see the miracle. Because you are supposed to read that miracle. That miracle is speaking of something. Miracle can happen before you. All of Jesus' miracles were not just miracles. They were speakings that you are supposed to read. So you might be there when this miracle of loaves multiplying happened, but you did not see the miracle. Because if you saw the miracle, the reason for your seeking will be different. So many times our unfruitfulness is tied to the way we see. You know, when daddy begins to labor about judgment, when he says that I lead in the way of righteousness, say in the midst of the path of judgment. Meaning that if the Lord wants you to grow, the first thing he will give you is sight. If the Lord wants the people to grow and bear fruit, the first thing he will give to them is sight. He will give unto them judgment. Meaning that the way you begin to see, the way you begin to conclude matters, the way you begin to resolve things, the way you begin to see, when you look at your, okay, I don't have work, I've not gotten a job now, you begin to see the heart of God behind that. I don't have a child yet. What is the Lord saying about this? What is the intention of God? You are not just seeking the Lord because you want to quench that hunger. These people wanted to quench your hunger. Say because he ate bread and you were filled. There are hunger that we have all around us. You will always be hungry for things here. Hunger will always arise for things here. But if that is the reason why you seek the Lord, you will not grow and you will not be established. We can see that when the Lord began to expound it really, that if you have actually seen this miracle, your reason will change. When he began to talk about, I am the bread of life, talk about the bread of heaven, began to open those things that they were supposed to see and said all of them, they deserted the Lord. All of them, except the 12.
Meaning that we will begin to enter terrains with God, that when he begins to open up himself, we can be a people that will draw back. Our not drawing back is tied to how well we have engaged this season. How well we engage this season will tell a lot in 10 years to come. How well we engage this season will tell a lot in 20 years to come. Are you praying? Are you studying? Our father, Reverend Kenneth E. Higgins, said that for 6 months, he felt it was already established, was already teaching. Then for 6 months, he began to pray. That Ephesians 1 prayer, that the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened. That the eyes of my understanding, say, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. See, after 6 months, he said he ran to his wife and was like, what have I been teaching? There was a change in sight. There was a change in judgment. There was a change in understanding. There are certain understandings that we have now that we must lay it side by side with the emphasis of what is coming. I must intentionally drop them. We must intentionally drop them. Jesus was talking about this. He said that it is better for you to enter into life halt and maimed. It's better that you cut off one leg. See, when you say cut off one leg, he's talking about the kind of judgment that used to walk. When he say remove your eyes, it's a kind of way you are seeing. And it must be replaced with another kind of way. I was lamenting to one of my brothers, one of my pastors. I was like, I was just seeing how Daddy was teaching us on Friday. And I'm like, what kind of mind is this? I desire this kind of mind. How can he just enter from Isaiah, go to Jeremiah, and you can see that these things are true? And he was making me to see, he said, you know, this kind of mind cannot happen if they don't stretch it. Without pressure, they must put your mind under pressure. They must bring you to that place whereby you reach your elastic limit. And then they will still stretch you beyond that limit. When we talk about growth, when we talk about fruitfulness this season, the only way we can escape Satan, the only way we can escape the devil, the only way we can escape darkness and evil as written here, is by engagement for growth. Engagement, intentional, deliberate, conscious engagement for growth. Morning devotion, I'm there. And I pray with everything that comes, trusting God that all these things will begin to reshape my sight. Begin to change the way I see. My spec. You know, one more thing, even the kind of person you marry can determine how far you go. My spec for marriage is because of a work in me already. A work has been done in all of us. And if that work must be removed, you must intentionally go against that which is inside. By all these judgments that the Lord is laying to us. Can we just pray this morning? Let's receive help again this morning. That even as we are in the season of growth and fruitfulness, that we are going to engage well, the Lord will help us to seek him. Will help us to seek him for growth. Not just to quench temporal hunger, but for growth in the spirit.
We trust you were made glad and strengthened by the voice of the Son of God from on high. For more inquiries about the ministry and its meetings, call 0702-500-1662 or 0904-285-0714. Stay blessed.